Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
The Sports Hub. Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Right now, Antonio Brown is preparing to play on Sunday against the Miami Dolphins. Okay, at this point, there's been nothing from the NFL to step in and say Antonio Brown is not allowed to play. He's not on the commissioner's exempt list. His status has not changed. And generally, with Bill Belichick, the way it works is if you practice on Wednesday, then you're preparing to play. And that basically is where the Patriots are.
The reports today that he will not be put on the commissioner's exempt list, so the league ain't stepping in. That was Ian Rappaport there. Practiced all week. His travel bag was in front of his locker today. Looks like he's going to be out there Sunday in Miami. The other story then, like we talked a lot about this week, what did the Patriots know? When did they know it? And if they didn't know, why won't they just say it? And if they did know, why won't they just say it? If they knew and believe that he's totally innocent, why won't they say that? So maybe the answer came here from Jeremy Fowler, ESPN overnight, where he reported that representatives for the Patriots, representatives for Antonio Brown and Brittany Taylor, the alleged victim, were in discussions over the past few months, but they agreed that their communication would remain confidential until the filing of Taylor's civil sexual assault lawsuit, sources told ESPN on Thursday. This, the sources say, is why the Patriots and the Oakland Raiders would not have known about the matter unless there was a breach in the confidentiality of those discussions. So Fowler and ESPN once again reiterating the Patriots and the league did not know. The reason they did not know is because Brown's lawyers were negotiating a settlement with Taylor's lawyers, and as part of those discussions, there was a non-disclosure agreement, confidentiality agreement. They weren't allowed to discuss those settlement talks or the lawsuit. So they were bound by that confidentiality agreement not to tell the Patriots. And so that's why the Patriots didn't know. Now, it's still entirely possible, even though there was a confidentiality agreement or a non-disclosure there with those settlement talks, that Drew Rosenhaus still said to Belichick, pissed, Bill.
This is the most mind-blowing thing.
I can't believe you can't do this. This is an easy one.
Pissed. Huh? Wait.
I didn't know what he was talking about.
I know.
I'm like, what?
P-S-S-T.
I got a secret to tell you. Pissed.
There is still nothing preventing from Rosenhaus to saying to Bill, just between you and me, we've got this going on. So he still could have told Bill. But maybe this explains why the Patriots aren't answering the question, because they don't want to throw Rosenhaus under the bus. Maybe Rosenhaus did tell him. And if the Patriots say Rosenhaus told him, then they're blowing up Rosenhaus's spot with the confidentiality agreement in the settlement talks. Maybe that's just one plausible scenario there.
See, but like, I don't want to get into too many particulars on the confidentiality agreement, but don't you think that existed while Brown is talking to this woman, okay, or their parties are negotiating, that they didn't want her to go public so as to affect his marketability?
Yes.
That's why that existed.
Yes.
Because any information that came out would have hurt Brown.
And how
so I suspect that his side asked for that. Not her side.
I would agree.
His side. So if that's true, then his side would, I assume, on the wink, wink, nod, nod, disclose it to Belichick.
That's a great point. Also, how did it prevent... I mean, it didn't prevent incarcerated Bob from knowing.
Well, so that's the other thing, right? And I meant to bring that up earlier when we first discussed this. Like, it was still out there anyway. It was out there anyway. Look, I just think, again, Belichick and Drew Rosenhaus in their respective fields are two of the most powerful guys in the league. It serves Rosenhaus to tell Bill. And I have to believe that they operate on that level, that they both fancy themselves as significant power brokers in the league, and Rosenhaus would share the info. No, as to the Patriots' unwillingness to disclose it, I'm not as bent out of shape about it as you are. But I believe that Rosenhaus gave Bill some tip-off, yes. He had to.
I think it's weaselly that they haven't answered for it. I just think it's weaselly. It just is. You know, if you believe in the guy and you think he's been unfairly charged or unfairly maligned, if you believe in him, tell us why you believe in him. I mean, you must believe in him. He's here. So tell us why you believe in him.
Oh, no, they'll do that after he succeeds.
So that's just weak.
Right. And then if he fails, we'll never hear anything about it.
So then you don't really believe in him.
See, I'm willing to bet they don't.
Because you don't want to put anything out there that... So, like, I mean, again, so this thing that they'll do when they win, you know, we supported him the whole way. And did you? Because you've said nothing in support of him on the front side. Nothing. If nothing but shoot snot rockets into a microphone and the crafts anywhere, anyone, anywhere. So what support are you showing him? You've gone into radio silence. But if he makes it and they win at a high level, they'll say, we had his back from day one. Everyone, you know, oh, did you? Because you didn't say word one when he first got here when he needed the support the most.
So what they would tell you...
It's cowardly.
Yeah, what they would tell you is that, you know, they've committed to give him, you know, $10 million guaranteed, $5 million in another 10 days. Right? So that's what they would tell you, there's our statement about him, that we're giving him the money, we believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see if he makes it to the 23rd first.
Here's Tom in Boston. Lead us off this hour. And Chris Gasper will be coming up later on this hour. Go ahead, Tom.
Guys, the Patriot way, it's dead. I mean, we just signed the biggest diva at the biggest diva position in the NFL. Really? Like, anyone like claiming the Patriot way is still a thing is just absolutely out of their mind, because, you know, if the old Patriots never would have done this. I don't know what's going on down there. I've been a Pats fan for a long time. This move really, really drove me nuts. I just don't see why people are, you know, no one's on board with my opinion right now. I probably lost two or three buddies over this whole thing, potentially. But, like, seriously, this guy's awful. Like, he's the biggest, like, diva in the NFL. We just signed him. The Patriot way is dead.
He's hard to root for. And the Patriots way was always dead.
I was just going to say, the Patriot way never existed.
But let me tell you, the Patriot way...
Well, I shouldn't say that. Maybe at the beginning it did a little.
But I do believe in... They have certain core philosophies that they are generally a team that subjugates to the team, as Soucy was saying. He's absolutely right. There are sacrifices. There's personal sacrifices you make to be on this team. Financially, usually.
Statistically.
Statistically, often. In terms of your attention, like, you know, the Instagram stories notwithstanding, like, generally, you've got to sort of subjugate yourself and sacrifice money, time, stats, attention for the team. I mean, I think that's typically the way they do it. So I think that is the Patriot way. And I think when it comes to the receiver position, there's definitely a Patriot way. Get open, catch the ball, keep your mouth shut. We don't want you here. We don't want to hear about you crying about your touches or the ball or all this nonsense that you hear on every other team between the receivers and the quarterback. Right? All that drama. They've been so refreshingly, you know, almost completely devoid of it, except for that Randy Moss little era in there. But no one, even Ocho Cinco didn't come in here. And like, so they've always gotten away with receivers that were just a different type. The type that I like. Tough.
Complimentary,
smart,
largely, yeah.
Complimentary. Get open. Catch the ball. Keep your mouth shut. Tough. Hardworking. That, to me, is a Patriot way at that position. This guy's the exact opposite. He's the exact opposite. So they've broken from it on that. And, well, we'll see if it works. Because I still contend Randy Moss ultimately did not work. Tom in Connecticut. Go ahead, Tom. What do you got?
Hey, guys, a couple real quick things. Hey, good insight, Mike. You were talking about getting to know Antonio from a personal standpoint. What kind of guy is he? Go to an article last September. I think it was ESPN Magazine. There's a writer who actually, because of that article, Antonio threatened the writer. But he goes into detail on how he treats his family and friends. And one of the things that came out of it, his longtime trainer that he grew up with cut ties from Antonio back in, I believe, August of 2017. The other thing, add to the list, you know, as far as the wonderful personality of Antonio, in Pittsburgh, he was scheduled to meet cancer patients and their family at 1 o'clock at a hospital, and he didn't show up until 5 o'clock. And the families in the hospital were trying to get in contact with him because they didn't know if they should hang out or how long they should hang out.
Okay, so
he literally did not show up until 5 o'clock.
Well, he's notoriously late for everything. So that Sounds like him, but I don't want to. That's, you know.
Yeah, but Art had said that. He's late for everything.
Everything. Yeah. Everything. And needs someone with him at all times to get him to where he has to go to. He's still habitually blowing things off or showing up late or not showing up at all, habitually.
That's an adult. That's.
I mean, look, it's going to be something every day. You can find any story, any time, any interview to tell what this guy's about. Murray handed me this one. The latest, Antonio Brown's stepdad says NFL receiver is very abusive towards women. This was a USA Today story that was reprinted in the New York Post.
Correct, yeah.
Today?
Yep.
Antonio Brown's former stepfather described the New England Patriots receiver as, quote-unquote, very abusive towards women while saying he's not surprised that he's now facing rape allegations. Quote, I can't tell you that he did what they said he did, Larry Moss Jr. told USA Today on Friday, but I know he's very abusive to women. As far as just raping somebody, Brown just feels like he can have whatever he wants, Moss added. He's just empowered that way, so it doesn't surprise me that this kind of allegation came out about him. Moss, who's 50 years old, hasn't spoken to Brown since 2005. So, you know, again, this hasn't spoken to him in 14 years and admitted that the two had a strained relationship in his teenage years. Moss helped raise Brown in Miami-Dade County in Florida between the ages of 5 and 17 and said the star's history of troubling behavior dates back to his preteen years. On and on and on. Quote, a lot of things that Tony's doing, that Antonio's doing, nothing surprises me, he said. I'm surprised that it took them this long to figure him out, because he's been this way since he's been 12 years old. In his interview with USA Today Sports, Moss also claimed that Shamika Brailsford, the mother of Brown's oldest child, Antonio Brown Jr., told him Brown physically abused her. Quote, she told me that he done jumped her before. He done choked her. He done had run-ins. End quote. So, I mean, like, the million story, there's be a new one every day. Okay? Because this is the kind of guy he is. And it's the guy you've invited into your home. Unbelievably, the guy you've been, in Brady's case, literally into his home. It still surprises me. Bob and Needham. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Felger, can you imagine Josh Gordon having to go to the podium and defend somebody else besides himself? He's like telling what a good teammate he is. I'm like, are you kidding me? Josh Gordon is defending him instead of defending himself after his behavior? And secondly, you ever see The Longest Yard with Burt Reynolds?
Sure.
Apparently, Belichick is becoming Burt Reynolds' character. He's getting up the prison team for the rest of the league.
So, I mean, that's a Boston guy with that joke. That's what the rest of the league's saying about you.
So, look, you know, I don't know. A lot of people are bringing up Gordon's name. The one distinction, and look, off the top of my head, I feel like all of Gordon's transgressions have been harm to himself. Brown feels to me like he hurts other people.
Yes. So I've said, you know,
to me, that's a big distinction.
It's got me rethinking Josh Gordon or reassessing Josh Gordon. It's
so, like, you can say Josh Gordon's unreliable. You can say, but
Gordon's at least owned it.
Well, right. And the other thing is, it feels to me like he has hurt mostly himself.
Definitely.
Now, so now there are people in around him in his immediate surrounding, if he has a close, you know, even anybody who cares about him at all, that are probably hurt by the fact that he can't take care of himself and emotionally put strain on them. But this guy, like, to me, that's a big difference. Josh Gordon's way easier to root for at the end of the day, because you say, don't do that to yourself. What are you doing? This guy? You start hurting other people. That's a completely different thing.
So I do think this is a different, completely different story, a completely different guy than they've ever had, than most teams have ever had. It's hard to be worse than this guy when it comes to the professional context. But again, he's here. So is Chris Gasper. We will talk to Gasper of the Boston Globe right after these words.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What's up? Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Right now, Antonio Brown is preparing to play on Sunday against the Miami Dolphins. Okay, at this point, there's been nothing from the NFL to step in and say Antonio Brown is not allowed to play. He's not on the commissioner's exempt list. His status has not changed. And generally, with Bill Belichick, the way it works is if you practice on Wednesday, then you're preparing to play. And that basically is where the Patriots are.
For the reports today that he will not be put on the commissioner's exempt list, so the league ain't stepping in. That was Ian Rappaport there. Practiced all week. His travel bag was in front of his locker today. Looks like he's going to be out there Sunday in Miami. The other story then, like we talked a lot about this week, what did the Patriots know? When did they know it?
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be
ha-ha-hee-hee. Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
On Antonio's situation, both Antonio and his representatives have made statements, and so I'm not going to be expanding on any of those. They are what they are. We've looked into the situation. We're taking it very seriously all the way through the organization. I'm sure there are questions, but I'm not going to be entering into discussion about that today.
Bill, were you aware of the lawsuit when you signed Antonio Brown?
I'm not going to be expanding on the statements that have already been given.
Don't you think the fans deserve to hear a little more from you on
we'll say more.
That, you know, could impact the team?
Yeah, I just said that.
Don't you think fans deserve to hear a little bit more?
When we know more, we'll say more.
Are you preparing to have Antonio Brown at practice today?
Yes.
And are you preparing for him to play on Sunday?
We're taking it one day at a time.
So Belichick's contentious Wednesday press conference, where he basically got hooted off the stage. I don't know how else to say it, but he sort of got, well, he scrammed after about 4 minutes. And people said at the time that it was almost unprecedented, that the only other time they saw him scramble off the podium like that was after Chris Gasper started reading the rule book on Deflategate and Bill scrambled off the podium. You've heard people say that this
week,
right?
Yes, I have, yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't
say... Do you remember that, Gasper?
Yeah, I remember it. I wouldn't say he scrambled off. It was a walk-off. He just walked off.
I might need my memory refreshed.
He walked off in disgust.
Well, let's go back in memory lane. How long is the clip, Jimmy?
Hang on, I have to pull it up.
Somebody. Okay, he's got to pull it out there.
Yeah, we got to listen to this, huh?
He's got
to
whip it out.
Sorry, I didn't see it on the rundown.
No,
bad.
It's okay. It's all right. So were you there on Wednesday?
I was not there. I'll tell you, I thought he actually sort of kept his cool.
Yeah, me too, actually.
Pretty professional, to be honest.
I don't think he had the worst day on Wednesday.
No. I mean, I thought, you know, obviously it's frustrating. He was sort of, you know, thrusting and parrying, you know, when it came to the questions. He was just sort of knocking them all aside. But he seemed like he kept his cool. Like, you know, I thought he was going to snap at the, you know, you didn't answer my question. I was like, oh, this guy's going to his head bitten off. And he was like, well, actually, I did answer your question. Like, he was just very matter of fact. Bill's really mellowed over the years. He really has.
Yeah,
so, this is from.
Oh, go ahead, Jeremy.
No, go ahead.
This is from September 12th of 07. It runs 22 seconds.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. On your statement, you said you gave Commissioner Goodell your interpretation of the rule. What was that interpretation?
Chris, I said that's after it's, when we get a ruling, we'll make a comment on it. This is all I have so far.
No, I understand, but it's
okay, is there any other, we have any other questions on the Chargers?
Pretty clear. No video recording the locker room. Coaching booth.
Yep. That's all. Okay. Thank you.
See, you just pretended I wasn't there.
Yeah.
He just, no, you're not reading the rule. You're not here.
He used to refer to you by name.
Yeah, you've been getting a Chris there.
No, that was not like a good Chris. That was a
condescending
that,
Chris.
No, so not condescending. That was,
after it's, when we get a ruling, we'll make a comment.
That was Chris. Are you
this
sure
is all
you
I
want
have
to
so
do
far.
That with your career? That's what that
is
was.
Is there any other, we have any other questions on the Chargers?
Be clear. No video recording the locker room. Okay. Coach
Booth. Yep. That's all. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So you mean he was saying Chris like he would say Albert?
Yes, exactly. It was like, Chris, you sure you want to do this? You sure you want to?
All right, Chris, what's your takeaway from the events of this week?
Yeah, I mean, I just think, look, I had reservations about bringing in Antonio Brown before the allegations of sexual assault. And when you brought him in here, he had what I would call sports baggage, right? Which happens, which is you're unreliable, you're selfish, you're someone who is sort of a self-promoter, you're not a good teammate. We can debate that. You know, we're in the toy department. We talk about that type of stuff. Do I think the Patriots should be in the business of bringing somebody like that in? No. But now you're dealing with, like, real-world reservations, which, when you look at it, it's like, okay, now we have an allegation, and it's an allegation. No, it's not proven that he did this. But now you have, like, an allegation, and it's a very serious allegation. So I just go back to something else Bill said. He didn't say in that press conference with me, but he's always said whenever you bring a player in, you get everything that comes along with that player. And normally what he's referring to is sort of height, weight, speed. But, you know, in 2017, he talked about this and he also said, you know, it's about personality and intelligence and all that stuff. And so the Patriots know exactly what they're getting into with Antonio Brown, because whether he's innocent of this, whether he's guilty, this is a guy that makes a lot of bad decisions and puts himself in bad situations. And they just seem to be okay with bringing a guy like that in, who's going to make bad decisions. Some of them obviously are more grave than others. Some of them have real world consequences like this. Some of them have sports consequences, like what he did in Oakland and what he did in Pittsburgh. And they just seem okay, you know, sort of bringing him in and sort of making to some degree an exception for him. And they feel strong enough, I think, in their culture that they can tolerate this guy. Because that's what this is.
Chris, before...
Like, this is not assimilation or incorporation. They're just going to tolerate this guy because he's wildly talented and hope they can win with him and tolerate him for a season.
Before this whole thing came to light, were you in favor of taking him in?
No, I wasn't, for the reasons I outlined. Because I just did not think... I didn't think they needed him that badly. To me, it was like a mercenary move. And I just sort of felt like this is a guy that comes with a lot of attendant baggage. And it's a calculus, right? You know, what's the calculus of disruption versus production? And that's what it's going to be about for Antonio Brown. And I think they feel like they can tolerate this guy, you know, because he's not going to change all his stripes. Like, he is who he is. And again, that goes back to what I just said. You know, Bill has said in the past that when you bring a player in, you get everything that comes along with this player. Well, this is what comes along with Antonio Brown, a constant circus.
Does it matter to you if they knew or not, and if they acknowledge that they knew or not, and that whole piece to the story?
I mean, it mattered to me how, like from a moral standpoint, or like I think it would have changed what they did.
Any standpoint?
I mean, to a degree, because I think it matters from the idea of, did you just want the guy this badly and you knew about this and you just didn't care? Because I think when you look at it that way, then I think there's a little more responsibility on the organization than before.
Well, what if they...
If they didn't know, then, and it was just a football move, then it's like, well, you can't really sort of point the finger at them because they didn't know this was coming.
What if they knew it was coming, but they felt he was innocent and were confident in it?
Well, I knew
it was a frivolous
claim. I would say, given the timeline of signing him, there's no way they could possibly know that. Just like all the people out there who say, well, innocent till proven guilt. I get it. Like, there's no way you can absolutely know.
What if Rosenhaus shared what they have? In other words,
I wouldn't believe anything from Rosen. I mean, I wouldn't believe Rosenhaus as far as I could throw him. So I wouldn't go on that.
Yeah. So to me, Chris, I think it's possible that they knew or had some inkling that there was a civil matter going on, but they didn't know it was about to break. You follow me? In other words, the timing of it caught him off guard.
Sure.
They knew it was there, but the timing caught them off guard. They were not expecting it within 48 hours of having agreed with the guy.
But did they know, what did they know was there? Like, what was the series? In other words, did Rosenhaus give them everything? Or did they sort of say, well, you know, there's a civil thing with a woman and, you know, she's making these allegations, you know, don't worry about it. And then you read the actual, you know, civil suit and it's like, okay, there's some stuff in here that's bad. You know, like the text messages about the one incident. And do they know there was a rape allegation? Like, that's my question. And when I say they, I don't mean Belichick. I mean ownership. You know, how much did ownership know? Because they got burnt once on Aaron Hernandez where they didn't get the full story from football operations. It wouldn't be the first time, and it won't be the last time that they don't get the full story from football ops.
I bet that happens on a lot of teams in a lot of different circumstances. The football people, baseball people, basketball people want the player because that's all they care about.
Yeah.
And so they will actually leave some things out when they report to ownership because if they put them in, they don't get the player.
Yeah, or so they might not get the player, right? They might not. You don't know for certain, but it depends. Like, you know, you might not get the player, so you try and present it in the best possible. So it's like third hand, right? So Rosenhaus presents it to Belichick in the best possible light, who then turns around.
It goes
and
to another sifter.
And then it sort of gets cleansed once again by Bill, and he turns around and explains it to ownership. And then it's like, did you really know what was going on and what the gravity of the situation was?
So we hear this a lot from the Patriots fans. There's no risk. No risk.
Yeah.
Then they would always say, well, at the first sign of trouble, they'll cut him. Well, that didn't happen, did it now? Rape allegation, first day as a Patriot. Seems to me he's still here. So they have not cut him at the first sign of trouble. So you can reassess that one. But Patriots fans like to say there's no risk.
Yeah.
I think off the field, that's just blatantly, completely wrong, as we've seen. He is a tremendous risk to your brand, as has already been evidenced by the fact that there was a full news cycle where rape allegation and the Patriot and Pat Patriot were next to each other on every TV set in America. Bad PR, risk, that story's over. Of course, there's off-the-field risk. Is there risk to the football team?
Yeah, I think there's risk from this standpoint, the same risk there was last year with Josh Gordon, that the guy is so talented and you do a lot of sort of, you know, to a different degree. Because I don't think Josh Gordon's like a bad teammate. In fact, his teammates love him. But there's a guy who there are reliability questions about, and you rely on him for a good chunk of the season, and then all of a sudden when you really need him, he's not there. Now, in Brown's case, it could be because there's an incident. It could be because he shuts it down. It could be because he's unhappy with his touches. Who knows what it is? And this has been my biggest thing with him is the difference to me between him and Randy Moss is like Randy Moss spent two seasons on Oakland. The team went 4-12 and 2-14. He's catching passes from Kerry Collins, Andrew Walter, and Aaron Brooks. And then he came here and it was like, you know, it was a come to Jesus moment in terms of I can win. Antonio Brown, I mean, 6 of the 9 years he was in Pittsburgh, the team had double digit wins. He's never been on a team that's had a losing record. And he still acted this way. So for those people who think he's going to come here and suddenly see the light because it's the Patriots, it's like, yeah, that worked on Corey Dillon and Randy Moss because they wanted to win. And they hadn't really done it before. You know, Randy had only won the first 3 years of his career in Minnesota. And then he had this long gap before he got here where he was on one team with a winning record and won one playoff game against your Packers. And then when he showed your Packers fans what he thought of all of you, right? After that touchdown celebration. So it was a different deal. Here's a guy that's been on like Super Bowl contenders pretty much every year. And for whatever reason, that's not enough for him. And that's my biggest concern. You rely on him and you get to the end of the year and he's like, oh, I don't know if I'm getting that touchdown celebration. So it was a different deal. Here's a guy that's been on like Super Bowl contenders pretty much every year. And for whatever reason, that's not enough for him. And that's my biggest concern. You rely on him and you get to the end of the year and he's like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to get my money with these touches.
So what's the risk to the team?
The risk to the team is
paint the scenario that there's a football risk.
The football risk is that you make him a big part of your offense. And then all of a sudden, he shuts it down when you get to the most important games of the year. And then you have to recalibrate. And I think people underestimate that risk. And they sort of, you know, thumb their nose at it because the Patriots went through it last year and it worked out. But would they feel the same way if Kansas City had won the coin toss? Would you feel the same way about having to recalibrate on the fly?
Or if the Rams had managed 14 points? I mean, again, you didn't exactly light it up in the ultimate game. So, yes, there is definitely a football risk.
Yeah,
and people don't get it. And I try and use the Kyrie Irving example. Not that it's apples to apples. Nothing is, you know, perfect analogy. But On paper, it looks perfect, and he should take it to another level, but these are human beings. These are not, this isn't a fantasy team or a rotisserie team or just numbers you pump into a computer. So human beings are human beings. And one guy gets a little sideways about something, and the next thing you know, it sort of reflects on a teammate, and a teammate responds a certain way. And the next thing you know, you're not getting as much out of both guys as you should because one guy, you know, and it's like it spirals. So Antonio Brown's got incentives. Money's really important to him. He realizes at some point in the season, he's not going to hit his incentives. He's not getting the ball enough. Maybe he runs that 7-yard comeback at 8 yards, Chris, and Brady doesn't give him the ball because he demands it at 7. He wants you working back towards the ball, not going straight to the sideline. So let's just say Antonio Brown rounds off his route at 8 as opposed to coming back to the ball at 7. Well, Brady's going to stop throwing him the ball. Now he's short of his incentives. How does Antonio Brown respond? And then how do they respond to the response? And then what happens next? And et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So of course, and I'm not telling you the whole thing's going to come, you know, the building's going to burn down, but does it prevent you from being as good as you can be? So of course there's a football risk.
Yeah, and the other risk is that you've sunk $10 million into him. I know fans don't really care about that, but I mean, you know, $10 million guaranteed is not, that's not something to sneeze at. And I think it sort of gives the guy like almost in a way, and even, so those are saying, well, you know, first sign of trouble, they're going to dismiss him. Are they?
We've already had the first sign of trouble.
But then you have to turn around to ownership and say, so about that $10 million.
Like, so look.
I don't know if first sign of real, you know, first sign of trouble, you're going to dismiss him. First sign of football trouble.
I think it's just the opposite. I think there's far more risk than reward. You're already on the top of the mountain. You're already a Super Bowl favorite. You already got everything going for you. He can only bring you down in some regards from where you are. So I think it's just the opposite. I think there's more risk than there is reward. Your calls, I promise, with Gasper after Murray's update.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help Line ma.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
All right, let's take some calls with Gasper. Here we go. Be ready. Tim in Bellingham, you're up first. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, it's hard to make sense of a lot of this, but there's a couple of things we do know, and that's one, the TB12 method and Alex Guerrero were kind of a lightning rod at a year ago, and he wasn't really allowed in the premises, and we didn't see players doing Instagram live videos. Another thing we know is that Brady's in a walk year. Is this all to keep Tom happy? You know, is ownership possibly on board?
Yes, I think I'm going to cut you off, Tim. I think part of it is that. I think the quarterback wants him. I think the quarterback's all in on this.
So it's a good point, though. I didn't tie it to the contract here. It's an interesting thing.
Oh, I do, because they don't need this guy to win a Super Bowl.
But I mean, I didn't tie it until he said it.
But they may need this guy for Brady to get his numbers in a free agent year.
And they also might need this guy to convince Brady to stay. Play another year.
Well, I just think the quarterback wants him. And the quarterback's all in. He's brought him into his home, his training facility. He's all in. All in.
Right, but in the past, they have not been unafraid to do things that didn't necessarily appease Brady. I mean, they sent him into seasons without receivers.
Oh, yeah. No,
definitely.
Like, yeah. They've done it all the time.
Traded Deion Branch. Yeah. So your guy.
Why cave to him now?
I'm just saying they cut Hoyer this year when Brady didn't want them to cut Hoyer. So they'll do things that he doesn't want all the time.
Let me ask you this. Is it more maybe something else? Is it more like they feel like this could be the last year with Brady loaded up?
Yeah, I think that's on the table too, don't you?
Yep.
Like, just, this is it. So here we go. Let's light them all. Light all the fireworks, and here we go. Grand finale.
Empty the bucket.
Yeah, I think that's possible too. Is that what you believe, Gasper?
I think that's a possibility.
Yeah, there you go. That's as close as
we'll
get.
There's a little hidden news in there.
That's as close as we'll get. Tim in Wakefield. Hi, Tim.
Hello?
Yes, Tim, go ahead.
Okay, hey, Mike, so I'm wondering, as you guys, and this is more interesting now that Chris is in there too, but you guys have been in with Bill and asking him questions and stuff, and so I just want to know, why does Bill owe an explanation to the media about why, you know, why they signed Antonio Brown? I mean, he's always just stonewalled the media. Why now? He hasn't always.
When it serves him, he answers it. But he doesn't owe anybody anything. But it's my job to comment on how he carries himself. So that's what you're hearing.
I guess so. I just don't know. I mean, Fred on the morning show was ripping Bill for, you know, for not answering these questions. And I don't know. I don't know why he has to answer anything that has to do with off the field football issues.
But he doesn't answer the on-the-field football issues either.
Yeah, there's a simple reason Tim in Wakefield feels that way, and that's because he's a Yahoo.
I wouldn't disparage him like that, but I don't think Bill owes anybody anything anyway. You've never heard me say that he owes us an explanation.
He doesn't owe the media anything, but
or fans, right? That doesn't cross my lips.
You don't think you owe your fan base something?
You owe your fan base, but the fan base doesn't care. As long as they win, they're good.
No, I'm just talking. So he is allowed to carry himself the way he carries himself, and I'm allowed to tell you how I feel about it. And this is how I feel about it. I think that the organization hasn't said anything about Antonio Brown is cowardly. If you believe in the guy and think he's been unfairly maligned and you believe in him, then why don't you say it? Yeah, we knew about the lawsuit. It was a frivolous lawsuit. We stand by our guy. We take sexual assault incredibly seriously and we stand with victims' rights. But in this specific case, he did nothing wrong and we stand by the guy. We believe in him. Why don't you say that?
Because they don't.
If you believe him, so you don't believe in him,
said that in the statement, didn't they?
Did they?
Statements.
You just said kinda.
Oh my God! Here we got little Belichick in the room. Here, refer to the statement.
I'm just saying. Are you talking about the organization or Bill?
Both, I suppose.
Because I think the statement from the organization said that they take sexual assault very seriously. It literally said that.
Yeah, but they don't say they believe in the player.
Yeah, that's a different scenario. But I'm just saying, from Bill's standpoint, from a football standpoint, and I'm not defending it. I think for Bill, the consistency here is he doesn't want anything that's a distraction. Now, I think it's, you know, for me, this is just me personally, I think it's sort of cowardly to take something as serious as sexual assault and just, you know, sort of winnow it down to this is a potential distraction to our football team. I think, you know, you owe it a little more than that. But just from his standpoint, it's like, this has nothing to do with football. It's a distraction. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to address it. So I think it's sort of separate between the football coach and the organization.
Yeah, I just think there's a million questions with Antonio Brown, unrelated to the civil case, that he's not answering, or they're not really standing up for him.
Because I think they have their doubts.
You know, so which is, I mean, a lot of Patriots fans think he's being unfairly maligned, and he's the victim here, and he's the victim of a money grab, and there's nothing to see here, so why won't the team support him on that? Do they believe that? And if they don't believe it, then why is he here?
Because, again, I think they have their doubts. If I were them, I know I would. I think they played the odds here. I think they went to Bill and they said, what do you think on this guy? He says, well, you know, the problems are not violent in nature. They're not criminal in nature. So, you know, I think we're okay. All right. You feel like we should do it. Yeah. All right. Then go ahead. But first sign of trouble, something bad, we're cutting bait. Fine.
But they don't owe anybody anything. I never said that. Just they do what they do and we do what we do.
Yeah. But the caller, that guy, Tim in Wakefield, presented it as the media. And I don't look at it as the media. I look at it as the fan base. And let me ask you this. Do you think the Crafts would do it the way Belichick does it?
Yeah, they are. They're doing it.
No. But
Do
you think the relationship with the fan base?
Where are they? Are they in Fiji? Are they in Swahili? Are they somewhere where there's no, are they off the grid? I mean, what prevents Robert or Jonathan from saying something?
Again, that they have doubts in the player.
Okay, which then I would, and they probably do. In which case I would go back to and say, then why is he even here?
I just think the PR is more important to the Crafts than it is to Belichick. And so they tolerate his methods because he produces.
I think they're hiding behind him, in fact.
Well, in this case, they might be. I'm speaking in generalities, though.
I'm sorry, Chris?
No, I was just going to say, you know, I think from a PR standpoint for them, it comes down to plausible deniability. You know, that's what it is. I mean, if it goes sideways, you can put it on the coach.
So this is, and again, I said this earlier, Chris, I don't know if you're listening, but, you know, it's going to, if he has success, if they go on to a big year, they're going to turn around and say, we supported him from day one, and all the people out there were saying this. And I'm going to say, oh, you did support him from day one. That's why you didn't say a word. You didn't offer one word of support with him, with this case, or anything else until what? So if you really support him, you really believe in him, let's hear it. But I'm not quite hearing that. Long commercial-free segment is next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help Line ma.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tony, he has immense talents. You understand why New England takes the risk, quote unquote, to bring him in. But what's the bigger message that you see in all of this?
Yeah, Mike, I coached 13 years as a head coach. Every year, my first message to the team was, we want to win Super Bowls. Yes, we want to be talented, but we've got to be role models. These kids in our country look up to NFL players and coaches, and I really think this sent the wrong message. I know coaches want to win, Rodney, but I'm disappointed in Robert Kraft. I think it's some point you say, we're just as an organization, we are not going to do this.
So again, Agenda Free Friday, everything from the week. That was Tony Dungy last Sunday night. Hard to take. Sanctimonious Tony Dungy. I also think you missed the mark, Chris. Because I think the only one that committed a, you know, that you I'm ashamed of, it's not Robert. It's, to me, it's Bill if I'm another coach in the league. It's like, you're going to let this guy shoot his way out of town and just be waiting there for him, maybe even tacitly encourage him to shoot his way out of town. If I'm Mike Mayock, I'm like, Bill, this guy threatened to beat me up, basically called me a racist in front of the team and, you know, threatened physical harm on me, and you're going to sit there and sign him 15 minutes later?
After I did the Ryan Mallett first-round arm talent thing for you?
After
you're
going
to do that to me?
Ball washing I've done for you?
Tire pumping of your bad draft
pick? Oh, my God. You're going to turn around and do, you know, like, so I think like Mike Mayock or a coach would say, Bill, what are you doing? But so I thought he missed the mark on that on Robert Kraft. But anyway, I don't know. Do you think Kraft should have stepped in on this one, Chris?
Yeah, I do, actually. I do think that he, and you know, I don't blame him the way Dungy does, but I think he should have stepped in and said, look, this is not, you know, this is not what we want in terms of our organization, and we don't need this type of guy, particularly if he was aware of these allegations. Now, it seems like, you know, they weren't aware of them, or at least weren't aware of the depth of them. But yeah, I think at some point you have to draw the line. But the issue is, you know, look, again, I've said this for a long time. If it's up to the coaches, and it's not just a Bill Belichick thing. Look at Andy Reid in Kansas City and who they've had roll through there and giving Tyreek Hill the contract extension. So it's not just Bill. But if you ask these coaches are, they're going to winnow it down to, by any means necessary, I need to win. Whatever's going to happen that's going to help them win. And so they'll take pretty much anybody. You know, they'll take 53 criminals if it means they're going to win.
Yeah.
Because these guys are wired to compartmentalize that way. Like, they're not thinking about it outside of football. They can compartmentalize, this guy's not a good guy, but he's a good football player, or I can get enough out of him football-wise. And so somebody else has to sort of step in from the bigger picture and say, no. But again, is that really the Patriots' history? I mean, when you look at, you know, Albert Haynesworth.
Who was the guy?
Alfonso Dennard.
Jonathan Drew.
I forget the guy's name. He was a fringe player, but Bill,
defensive lineman.
Yeah, you had Bill sign him, and it turns out he had a gun charge I didn't know about.
But that was like right after Aaron Hernandez, right? That was probably the height of sensitivity for the organization.
Yeah,
I mean, there's not too many. I mean, Albert Haynesworth was signed here. He had a pending issue in court where he had groped a waitress. They brought him here.
You know,
it wasn't a problem.
Well, and in fact, now that I think of it, at that time, didn't Kraft come out and say, we won't be signing Kenny Britt? And then 2 years later, they signed him.
Yeah, they brought in Kenny Britt.
Did they bring him in like four different times or something?
How about Michael Floyd a couple of days after the super extreme DUI he got? And that's not my words. That's literally how they describe it in Arizona law. It was a super extreme DUI that he got. They brought him in. So they brought a lot of these guys in.
Okay. Back to your phones here with Gaspa. Matt in Providence. Go ahead, Matt.
Yes.
I'm just going to do this quick, and then you guys can take it from there. Did 9 years Antonio Brown have any allegations in Pittsburgh?
Yes.
He did?
Yes. I mean, they're just coming out now, but, you know, he had, well, while he was with Pittsburgh, there was an incident in Miami where he allegedly pushed down the mother of one of his children I know you don't want to hear it, but you asked the question. So he allegedly pushed down the mother of one of his children down in Miami because she was coming to collect money for a haircut that he wouldn't pay for. It was investigated, and I don't know if it really went anywhere. There was also, was he still with the Steelers when he threw the furniture off the apartment building and almost hit the 22-month-old?
Yeah, he was still with the
Steelers. So he was still with the Steelers when he threw the furniture off the apartment building and almost cracked the 2-year-old kid on the sidewalk.
There was a separate issue, too, where they looked into child endangerment but decided not to bring charges. That was also in Pittsburgh.
So I was just about to say, they asked the Allegheny authorities, are you going to look into this civil suit for rape? And they said, yeah, we'll look into a criminal charge. And they all thought it was for the criminal rape charge. And it turned out, no, they said, actually, we got a call on him with a child endangerment issue that we looked into and decided not to prosecute. So, yes, there's been plenty of things when he was with Pittsburgh, whether that was in Pittsburgh or not. I don't know if you wanted to hear that or not, Matt, but that's answering your question. Now, what is it?
No, that's fine. And Brady is watching him, and that's why he's got him in his house. He's getting into his head. He wants to see where the guy's coming from. And that's why Brady brought him into his house.
Didn't Brady also have Josh Gordon under his jurisdiction?
Yes. And did he do all right?
Oh, he failed a drug test.
He didn't make it through last year. I'm not sure what the point is. Of course Brady wants this to work. Of course Brady has opened up his world to Antonio Brown. His home, his training facility, his trainer, like it's all there for Antonio Brown. There's no question Brady is all in on this guy.
So the other thing is, in defense of Brady here, like let's not put this on Brady. Like Brady is going to, now it's Brady's responsibility to keep Antonio Brown out of trouble. Let me tell you, impossible.
Yeah, he's the babysitting goat.
Impossible. Yeah, and he only costs $10 an hour.
like Brady's going to make it all right.
Like, really, yeah, I think that, like, as much as I believe that Brady could have some effect on him, you know, from a football standpoint, Antonio, don't blow a gasket, we'll get you the ball. And is Antonio Brown more likely to listen to Tom Brady than Derek Carr? Yes. Okay, but really, is Brady really going to be there when this guy blows a gasket and wants to punch somebody or, you know, slam a door in a woman's face or whatever? You can't put that on Brady. That's unfair.
It's not just the pure football stuff. I mean, again, you said, did anything happen in Pittsburgh? And you brought up the criminal stuff, which is legit. But how many times, I think he had at least off the top of my head, 3 incidents where he pulled a hissy fit on the sideline when he didn't get the ball while he was there.
So
how's that going to go down?
So here? I've never mentioned that because Brady has hissy fits on the sidelines. I'm not going to get on to someone for a hissy fit on the sidelines. I mean, so like that's never been on my list. But he blew up his relationship with his quarterback. I mean, that happened in Pittsburgh. He stormed out on the team because he wasn't named the player of the week.
MVP
or,
of the team.
Or MVP of the, like, their internal banquet award or something. Like,
yeah, they gave it to Juju Smith-Schuster and it pissed him off.
Like, that sort of stuff is real. But Brady's gone to the sidelines and chucked a helmet, too. Like,
yeah, but that chucking a helmet, was that because your personal agenda wasn't being met or because you were frustrated because you weren't winning? Because there's a difference.
So I agree. So I'm worried about Antonio Brown, the guy. No question about it. One more wonderful segment with Gasper. No commercials. The very latest on Antonio Brown right here in the update. No spots. I'm right back with your calls.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling helplinema.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.